Track 2. Charge. Stand now and go to your left past a little staircase. As you enter the small room filled with paintings, immediately turn right. Pass a fire extinguisher on your right and walk 2 steps to the freestanding large glass case directly ahead of you. It's case 113. The number is on top on the left. The case has 3 paintings, and we'll focus on the very large one at the bottom, showing men on horseback with swords. Let's see what story about the Civil War this painting tells us. Since we're just getting started, we'll take longer on this painting than on others. If your first reaction is that you don't want to look at this painting, it's not surprising. It is dark and dreary. Also, it's big and chaotic. It will be hard to figure out what story the painting shows. On the other hand, the weapons suggest action and conflict, and that might attract you. You may have found yourself moving back away from the painting to be able to see it. Good. Step as far back as you can to see the painting as a whole and to avoid the light glaring off the glass case. Now begin to figure out what the painting shows. Look at the men. You'll notice 2 distinct groups, their sharp difference immediately apparent. What advantage is gained by those on horseback? You might wonder why one group would have horses and the other not. Notice other advantages that the soldiers on horseback have. The contrast in weapons is surprising. One group has rifles, but it's not helping. Notice also the differences in clothing. Do you find yourself suddenly sympathizing with those without horses? And if so, why? Or do you immediately identify with the men on horseback? By now, you've probably figured out that the men on horseback, the cavalry, in good uniforms, including dark caps, are the Union men from the North. They're wearing over-the-knee leather boots and have their swords raised. Their horses, for instance, look at the one white horse, are powerful and threatening, and the men's expressions determined. Their adversaries are foot soldiers, called infantry, and are struggling badly. They look like riffraff, frightened and running from a greater power. One man looking over his shoulder with panic, another falling with a blow, someone being trampled underfoot. These are Confederate fighters, probably a local militia of the Southern rebels, their clothes haphazard, hunting hats or kerchiefs on their heads, and a variety of shirts and jackets that suggest each man grabbed whatever was at hand as he ran out the door. Identify a focal point in the upper group of men, a man that the painter wants your eye to settle on. How does the painter draw your attention to him? He's the only one with his full face visible, his hat high enough on his head so you can see his expression, his eyes, the set of his mouth. Also, of the men on top, his weapon is shown most fully, and his horse's head raised the highest. The painting is called An Episode of the War, The Cavalry Charge of Lieutenant Henry B. Hidden. The man we've pinpointed is, of course, Lieutenant Hidden, who led this surprise charge on the rebels. We soon realize the painting depicts a decisive victory for the Union, especially important because in March 1862, when this battle occurred, the Union had been recently shocked by some terrible defeats. Here, however, when this New York cavalry detachment charged an enemy column withdrawing from Centerville and Manassas, Virginia, the cavalry not only dispersed the enemy, but took 13 prisoners. Ultimately, what would you say is the painter's attitude toward this skirmish? The painting must be celebrating the Union force, which appears to be fiercely and effectively led by Lieutenant Hidden. Before we move on, however, let's think about a small detail that may or may not have already caught your eye. Move up to the painting. A Confederate man in a hunting hat and jacket, in the right third of the painting, is doing something that he alone has managed to do. In his left hand, he still ineffectually holds his rifle, but his right hand firmly holds a pistol. Others in the rebel group have tried to save themselves, but can't get free of the horses. This man, however, has managed to cock his pistol, and Lieutenant Hidden, up on his horse and going after another man, doesn't see the pistol pointed at him. The painter, without advertising it, is telling us that Lieutenant Hidden, in the midst of this triumphant charge, was killed. He was the only soldier in the attacking force to die. The library downstairs actually has letters sent to Hidden's mother and father on St. Mark's Place in Manhattan. A general wrote of their son, "His brilliant victory and daring courage have been made history. But here, madame, my hopes of consolation for you end. For you, as mother, there can be no diminishing by the public glory, the anguish of the parent." Knowing this might alter your view of the painting's mood and story. Perhaps the darkness of the painting suggests the dark realities and unknowable dangers of an episode of war. A celebration of men fighting for a just cause has no simple good cheer. Whitman wrote about a charge that took place about a year after this one.
"What history, I say, can ever give, for who can know, the mad, determined tussle of the armies in all their separate large and little squads as this, each steeped from crown to toe in desperate mortal purports? Who know the conflict, hand to hand, the many conflicts in the dark, those shadowy, tangled, flashing, moonbeamed woods guns and pistols, the cheers and calls and threats and awful music of the oaths, the indescribable mix, the officers' orders, persuasions, encouragements, the devils fully roused in humans' hearts, the strong shout, 'Charge, men, charge!' the flash of the naked sword."
In a few moments, we'll be looking at an actual sword from the war. Pause the tour for a minute now and do a quick outline sketch of Lieutenant Hidden's upper body, his right arm raised, holding his sword.